The Paul Zeiss Show brought to you by Solomon Auto Group and Archie's on the South Side. Craig Riley in for Paul one final hour. Spent a lot of time talking about the Pirates, talked about the Steelers, talked about this idea of fluid fans, jumping ship, new team every week, whoever they like that week, hate it. Talking about the British Open.
The Open.
Yeah. And then when you do it with that sort of like...
Well, you did it that way first.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm saying that's like the smugness they have. That's why they call it the Open. The Open Championship. Get out of here with that. So one thing that happened at the British Open I really liked today.
What was that?
Well, I didn't like this because, I mean, I'm last name Riley. I'm very Irish. Don't like seeing Rory struggle. One of the few non-Americans I root
for.
But one of the things I really enjoyed was this story. He hits a terrible drive, hits a lady, which not great, but hits her and shatters the phone in her pocket.
What a shot.
Here's how my brain works. It's a scary place. I'll take you inside. Talking about Rory having a bad day, like all
Should
these
I be
things
like,
going on.
If I don't come back in a couple of minutes, somebody come get
yeah,
me.
Yeah, like in the corner, like, oh no, what happened?
I know.
What happened? What's the exchange after he breaks her phone? Did they, like, is it like a car wreck? Here's my information, like, call my people, we'll
Maybe
replace
he
your phone.
Sends his caddy over, possibly.
Does he just break her off? Like, does he have
a
enough money
bucks?
To, like, pay for a phone? Like,
right?
Phones
like
can cost,
Phil,
like, thousands of dollars.
Does like, he... Phil, like, having thousands of dollars in his pocket on the course.
Yeah, it's because Phil's betting. Yeah.
I know.
He's not paying somebody that money. He's using that for gambling
no.
money. So,
no.
I mean, phones can cost like a couple thousand dollars now,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
So if
sure.
he doesn't have a couple thousand dollars just in his bag, what's he
no.
do?
Exchange information.
Okay. Now, if you're this woman.
Yeah.
Like, I have an iPhone 6 still. I love it. I haven't gotten rid of it. It's admittedly
an
older one.
I've got
one.
An older one, too.
Yeah.
An older Android.
I won't give it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Somebody breaks that phone at a tournament. I'm getting the newest phone with the most storage, the biggest screen.
Right.
Is that acceptable? This guy's a millionaire.
Yeah, well, you've been waiting, right? You've been waiting
yeah.
to get a new phone, and this is the perfect opportunity for you to get that new phone.
So it's like,
why
oh,
not?
Like, what's the etiquette there? Can I say, like, yeah, you broke my old phone, but hey, I really like this nice one. I mean, you did break my phone.
Right, I'll give you all sorts of good pub.
And
that's
now,
what it is. I mean, you go out there on social media, and you talk about it, how wonderful Rory McIlroy was to give you extra money for your phone, and then maybe people will take that story and run with it instead of his really crappy first
round. That was going to be my next question.
Yeah.
Do you have to take into consideration that the guy just had a terrible day on the job, and then you're going to try and gouge him for a new phone? Like, if he was
no.
in the lead, I would have no problem. Like, hey, Rory, great round, by the way. Need
well,
new
so
phone,
what
pal.
What hole was this? I mean, where was he in his
I think
oh,
this might
I
have,
know. The
I think,
first,
it,
the
I think it might have been on the first
really,
hole when he went way left.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, then he still had an opportunity to make up some ground.
And that's where I don't know. Do you meet after the round and figure things out? Because, I mean, he probably wants to get on with his round, not sit there and exchange information with whoever
well, that's
this
when
one
he
is.
Sends one of his people.
Yeah, that's a good point. They probably got to pay. Everybody has a person.
Yeah,
that's
and
like
then
there.
You, and then if you're the woman and you do not get contacted and you want to contact him, like, hey, I can't really afford this or whatever.
Hey, you broke
you know,
my
you
phone.
You did this. Then you connect with his people on social media because social media is very powerful.
I like that.
Right? I mean, that's what you can do.
Kind of hoping somebody breaks my phone so I can get a new one now. They're well, really expensive.
You have to be in a place of opportunity.
Well, I'll tell you where I'm never going to be. The British Open.
The Open.
Yeah, I don't want to be around those
You're
people.
You're not going to be at Royal Portrush.
No. No. I said I live 5 minutes up the road from Oakmont.
What about the local Open?
That is, that. Yeah. Bo Titsworth breaks my phone?
I mean, right?
I can't get through that seriously.
I haven't laughed once saying his name.
That is impressive because all week long nobody's gotten through that. Well, Stacey, thank you so
well,
much
I'm a
for
woman,
indulging
maybe.
Me.
Maybe that's got something to do with it.
You're just a little more mature than the rest of us, I think. That's a low bar to hurdle,
well,
believe me. Well,
yeah.
Thank you for the updates on all these very important baseball games as well.
You're welcome.
That I have money on tonight.
Yeah, still 5-3 Indians. So.
Huge. Just all they have to do is win by more than one. And if they win by one, I still get my money back. So I'm a happy man
Fingers
either way.
Fingers crossed.
Let's go. We got another hour here. We'll see if those games wrap up before we get to that point. Craig Riley, like I said, in for Paul Zeiss. You can follow me on Twitter and follow the station on Twitter. I'm at Craig Riley. Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorkey, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, with locations in North Huntington and North Hills. One last thing on the British Open I want to talk about before I get into the Pirates talk here again was this idea this week, Brooks Koepka. If you're not familiar with golf, I'll do this baseline. It's not necessarily a golf story. It's more the overall idea of what he said. Brooks Koepka kills it in majors, other tournaments, pfft, doesn't care. That's what he came out and said. He said, I care when I'm on TV. I practice before majors. I don't practice before the rest of these. Do you like that? I look, if I was a pro golfer, I think I'd be out there all the time trying to kill it, win everything. But you know what I do respect? The fact that the guy at least came out and said it. Plenty of people rip him for the fact that he only shows up for majors and doesn't do well any other time. I respect the fact that he at least came out and owned up to it and said, this is what I do. It's his life to live. He doesn't want to care about the other tournaments. Then he doesn't have to care about the other tournaments. He wants to just win majors. You know what? You're going to make a name for yourself winning majors, and he's done it, because here we are talking about Brooks Koepka. I have no problem with him being that honest about it. A lot of guys probably feel the same way. They just can't compete like Brooks Koepka can. That's my last thought on the British Open. I'm tired of talking about it because of the smugness of the Open Championship. So I'm not going to talk about that anymore. Going back to the Pirates. And we saw some moves the other day. And it's been talked about on the station a lot. So I don't want to belabor the point too much. But the jumping off point here for this was the way Clint Hurdle used the bullpen in this last game. Goes to Felice. Idea was they were probably trying to save the eighth inning for Richard Rodriguez Vasquez in the ninth. But they worried about that as opposed to worrying about what was right in front of them. And too often that happens with them. Too often they're worried about the next inning, the next game, the next week, the next month. Not the game that's right in front of them. We saw it earlier in this year. The game where Hunter Pence hit a grand slam. I believe it was off Felice, if I'm remembering correctly. Could have gone to Vasquez. They said, he's pitched a little too much recently. They want to give him some time down. They didn't want to use him there. It's a save-only situation, which is a whole other thing about how you use your closer. So, is it Hurdle's fault? Some of it is. Some of it's lineup decisions. Some of it's the decisions he makes to use his bullpen. A lineup decision, I mean, yesterday, you sit Josh Bell down because they love this idea of piggybacking days off. They're off today. What I would have liked to have seen, that game was an NL Central game yesterday. I'm getting Josh Bell in there. You want to piggyback days off, you give them off today because they have a day off. Give them off the first game of the next series. Not that it's not an important game, but an NL Central game, when you're playing an opponent and you're in a race in the NL Central, carries a little more weight to it. So I don't like some of the decisions he makes. Not happy about them. I question them. Host pre and post game here on The Fan. You'll hear plenty of that from me. That's why baseball is somewhat a lot of fun to talk about, though. There's plenty of second-guessing to be done. But I don't know if it's all Hurdle's fault, either. Some of it could be, these are the players he's dealt. This is the hand he's dealt. This is who he has to work with. Is it fair to criticize him when he has to choose between some of the options he has in that bullpen right now? Kyle Crick really struggling. Luis Escobar's here, Michael Felice, Clay Holmes, Chris Stratton. These are the guys that they've tied themselves to. This is what he has to use. He's not out there playing with a fully healthy team that's firing on all cylinders. He's got to deal with these guys. This is what he has to play with. This is the team that this is the team he's been given. So, when we look at criticizing where the Pirates are right now, where does your criticism come down? Are you mad at Hurdle? You mad at Neil Huntington for giving him this team? Where are you on the Pirates right now? I'm going to talk about this again. I talked about it at the beginning of the show. The big question, if you talk about the Pirates right now, that you have to answer is, what are they with the deadline approaching? Buyers or sellers? Not buyers. They are not. Read between the lines earlier in the season. They didn't make moves when Tyon went down, when other guys got hurt. They looked internally. Those options stunk. They didn't make other moves to improve their club. If they thought they were contenders back then, they would have made moves. They didn't. Nothing's happening now. They're not buying. Maybe they stand pat. I think that's a mistake. No way would I stand pat. Now, saying stand pat, that still probably involves trading the guys with expiring contracts. Melky, trade him. Corey Dickerson, trade him. There's rumors that they're shopping Jordan Lyles. Now, you probably say, Jordan Lyles? Who wants Jordan Lyles? Jordan Lyles, pretty good reliever last year in Milwaukee. I could see a playoff contender trying to maybe get him for that reason. He's on expiring contract. Go ahead and move those guys. So that, to me, is still considered standing pat. That's making the standard moves you make when you're not a contender. You dump expiring contracts, you see what you can get. I think they should sell. Trade Vasquez. I talked about the Dodgers earlier, why they're the absolute perfect fit for the Pirates to trade. Because you can also tell the Dodgers, hey, I'm not giving you any of these guys unless you give me, or I'm not giving you Vasquez unless you give me exactly what I want. Because you know what? If I don't trade Felipe Vasquez right now, I can trade him in the offseason or the next trade deadline or the offseason after that or the deadline after that or the offseason after that one or that deadline. They have Felipe Vasquez to a deal, a very friendly deal, which is where a lot of that value comes from as well. So I'm not moving him unless I get what I want. But Dodgers are in a situation where they got pieces I'd want. I'd talk to them for sure. Julio Urias, I want him. I know the Dodgers love him. Too bad. You want Vasquez and you want to win a World Series this year. That's what it's going to cost. Take your calls on it, 412-928-9370. Where you come down on this Pirates team right now, who you blame for where they are, what do you think the next step is? That's all what I want to get into here about the Pirates, because if you're going to talk Pirates right now, it's inevitable. The trade deadline is looming, 13 days. They came out of the All-Star break with a thud, dropping 5 of 6. So where do they go now? What do you want to see them do? I'll tell you some of the names of those Dodgers players I think they should go after. Tell you who they are next. Keep talking about the Pirates a little bit as well. In other regards, where they go from here. And later this hour, Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette on the Pirates beat wrote a great piece. Pirates pitchers have close eye on robotic future. About robot umps, as he's talking about there. He talked to the pitchers, got their thoughts on it. Very unique perspective that I haven't seen before. We'll talk about that as well. Your call is 412-928-9370. And you can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line at 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Craig Riley in for Paul Zeiss. All that's still going to come here on The Fan. Hosting Pirates pre and post. Hear this song at PNC Park before a lot of games. Didn't know what it was. Ask people. Absolutely love it. Great job by him. You heard The Fan Morning Show just mentioned the Porch Tour. They're going to announce one of the next winner. I think they said tomorrow. Fan Morning Show Porch Tour is ready to come to your house. Register at 937thefan.com now to have The Fan Morning Show guys broadcast from your house with food and drinks for you and your friends. Remaining dates include July 26th and August 16th. Brought to you by Gutter Helmet, Old Smoky, Iron City, Fanatic Impressions, Permani Brothers, and J&D Waterproofing. The Porch Tour is pretty cool. I actually like it. I think it's one of the better things we do here. And I saw a guy get like rip-roaring drunk at the last one. So good times there. I'm waiting for Jim Colony to broadcast from inside someone's pool, though. I'm not kidding. Like, I want to see like Jim Colony in the shallow end with like the headset on and like they're talking to him. He's like, you know what? I'm out on today's show. You ask me whatever you want. I'm here in the pool. I'm waiting for that moment. Or like a Jim Colony cannonball. That's what we need to see at the Fan Porch Tour. Maybe that'll happen at your house. Go ahead and enter. 937thefan.com. You got a chance. Still two more. Craig Riley in for Paul Zeiss. Talking Pirates. Talking about who you blame for where they are. I don't love the moves Clint Hurdle's been making. If you listen to pre and post, you'll hear that. Some of it, though, I think his hands are tied. I want to take your calls, 412-928-9370. We go out to Jordan in Uniontown. Hey, Jordan. We don't go out to Jordan in Uniontown. We go out to Ted in Mount Washington now. Ted, we'll give you a shot at this. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, real quick, for her, I'll be honest, I have no sympathy for him. I mean, he has 2 years left on his contract. It's just the same thing over and over again with Hurdle. He makes excuses of why, you know, he can't get things done. And it's just no one knows the direction of this organization as a whole. You know, no one knows it. And if you look at the players, you look at the pitching staff, of course they're going to be sellers. They have to rebuild the pitching staff. I think the Chris Archer trade just killed them. And, if you're Huntington, you're going to be forced to sell. I think you have to sell big because you can't sell tickets. You know, and I'll be honest, I think Tyon is damaged goods. I think he's going to be hurt for a long time, maybe even need surgery. And if that's the case, you really don't even have an ace for your pitching staff.
Well, Ted, I'll tell you this. When it comes to Tyon, you look to last year, there was a big innings increase. Last year, he threw over 57 more innings. I think it was 57 and a third, if I'm correct here. It's 57 and change. More innings than the year before. Typically, that number's 30. You don't want to increase it by. So the writing kind of on the wall coming into this year. The Tyone, they stretched him out a little more than you typically like to with pitchers. And now all that this is happening, you look back at that and you say, you know what? Maybe not a huge surprise. And I like you, am worried about what happens here. He's throwing now on flat ground. They're trying to work him through a throwing program. But, man, it's still a long road to go between where he is now and pitching in a major league game again.
Yeah, I mean, there's no guarantee. I just think that with Tyone, they're going to sign him to a long-term contract. That's what they wanted to do. But I'll be honest, you know, if you're a power organization, who do you lock up long-term? Because some of these young, you know, some of the young players, you're going to have a core players which you believe in you can really win with. Right now, if you look at the Pirates, you really don't know what direction they're going into. And, you know, you look like Marte, he's going to be 31. Are you really going to, you know, give him more money to stay? I don't know. I mean, he has an option coming up. I think you trade big, you get a whole bunch of players, and you retool. That's the only direction they're going to go.
Well, I'll tell you this, and thanks for the call, Ted. I appreciate it. I agree that they should sell, but I think you sell with an eye towards the future, and it's why the Dodgers are the perfect team to be interested in Felipe Vasquez. I don't trade him unless it's absolutely on my terms. They have guys I really like that could help now and help next year as well. Julio Urias, 22 years old, first appeared in the majors back in 2016. The Dodgers use him right now as a multi-inning guy. They don't use him unless it's a clean inning. They don't bring him in with an inherited runners or anything like that. He's a very good pitcher. They have intent on stretching him out to be a starter in the future. But if they're all about winning a World Series this year, and that's the role they use him in, there's not a ton of use for that in this postseason. You know what they could use? Felipe Vasquez. That's an instant impact in the playoffs as they try to win games. So I look at the Dodgers. They have Urias. I really like him. I'd say I want him. They have Ruiz, their catcher, their top prospect. He's at AA. They got their number two prospect, Gavin Lux. He's an infielder, shortstop, second base. He's listed. He's been playing the last 14 games at AAA, so not far off. Dustin May, I really like him, a right-handed pitcher. He's made three starts at AAA for them, start of the year at AA. Another guy that next year could help out. So you're trading Vasquez, but you're getting good players and guys that could help next year when you're calling up your Cabrian Hayes, your own Mitch Keller, guys that are going to make the team better and when you're a step closer to being a contender. If they don't want to give me those guys, though, not all of them, obviously. I'm saying Urias and a couple of those. It's a huge ask. Believe me, I understand I'm asking them for a ton, but I don't need to trade Felipe Vasquez. I got like three more years I could do that if I really wanted. They got so much control over him. I'm not moving him unless I get exactly what I want. So that's my ask. And if they don't want to meet it, all right. Good luck in the postseason without Felipe Vasquez, I guess. Or we'll see if somebody else wants him. Keep taking your calls, 412-928-9370. We go out to Bob on the cell. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I want to respectfully disagree with this, even if the Dodgers are the perfect suitor for Mr. Vasquez.
Okay.
I just want to say an emphatic no. I'm not like, you know, the world's most knowledgeable baseball man, but, you know, but what I see in Vasquez is like a generational closer. You know, I see like bits of Aroldis Chapman in him. And to say, and, you know, and I'm also a believer that the Pirates are not too far away from being a contender. You know, they have the offense, they have the elements, they have the pitching. And I just want to say that I just don't think that trading Vasquez is the answer for this team right now.
Well, Bob, I appreciate the call. You mentioned a generational closer compared to Aroldis Chapman. Well, I remind you, Aroldis Chapman was traded, and they traded him for a bunch of players. Did it work out? Not necessarily, but you trade them and you get guys you like. And I agree, they're not far from contention. It's not going to happen this year, but I like what they're calling up next year. And that's why the Dodgers are the perfect match for the trade, because you're doing it in a way that you're getting players that are worth Felipe Vasquez, and it just so happens what the Dodgers have at the top of their prospect list are guys that aren't far off and can help you in that push for playoff contention. So you like Vasquez, that's one thing, but if you're a Pirates fan like I am, this is the reality of the situation. When you have huge trade chips and you can add a ton to your minor leagues or even add some like a Julio Urias would to your major league team right now, you do it. Because they're not going to go out and get guys in free agency. They draft and develop, and they trade. That's how you get these elite players. And the Dodgers have a couple guys that project to that level. Elite level players. That's why I move Vasquez if they really want him. And like I said, if they don't want to meet the ask, well, all right, well, maybe we'll talk again next year when I still have Felipe Vasquez with a ton of control, and we'll see if you want him then. Go back out to the lines, and we got Mike in Hermitage. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi there. How you doing?
Good.
Two questions. First of all, the caller before this, they continually hammer the Archer trade. Now, I understand that he's not pitched well, but nobody in our organization wanted Tyler Glasnow. Nobody. And the kid that they traded for, I'd rather have the left fielder we have now than Meadows.
Yeah, but Mike, you could have him and Meadows. It's not like you only have Brian Reynolds because of the trade.
Where are you going
to
go with
him? Oh, it would allow you to move Marte. Move Polanco if you wanted.
Yeah, they can get rid of Marte and Polanco anytime they want.
Yeah, but they wouldn't right now because they don't have the guy they traded in, Austin Meadows. It'd be a heck of a lot easier if you still had him.
I understand that. I understand it, but they had to get, they went for a pitcher that everybody wanted to get, and he didn't pan out. As of right now, he's probably pitching better than three of the guys on the team right now starting.
Well, I mean, Mike, that's a low bar to hurdle. I'm not going to say that it's Chris Archer's great because he's better than what else we have. I mean, Dario Agrizal is in the rotation. The Pirates DFA'd him at one point. It's a low bar. In the whole Meadows thing, yeah, you'd rather have Reynolds than him. You could have both. When it comes to Glasnow, I agree. They were never going to get this version out of Tyler Glasnow. Wasn't going to happen. Needed a change of scenery. And it worked for him. Oh, well, sometimes that happens. Another call here on the Pirates. We go to Dave on the North Shore.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good.
Good. As far as the Vasquez, that's the one issue. The Vasquez trade, if it's not the Dodgers and what they're trying, you know, trying to swap for Vasquez, then it's a no deal for me. And as far as the three issues, I wouldn't trade Vasquez unless it's that Dodger deal. That's my thinking.
Yeah, you don't move unless it's the perfect deal.
Perfect deal. As far as the Archer deal, it was early, and the one pitcher we got rid of, the one that couldn't throw strikes here, he may be done, you know, for the year. And as far as Meadows, he's cooled down considerably right now. He's cooled down considerably. I think this is the first home run in over a month and a half or something like that.
Sure.
Archer is coming around. It's just like he's one pitch away from just, you know, something there. He's getting 8 and 9 strikeouts in 6 innings, but he's just giving up the one big hit or the one big home run. And Kurt Hurdle, he overcoaches, of course. I mean, you know, he changes his lineup constantly. I would like to see him have a pat lineup sometimes with, he's going to stick with Newman. I would have Newman as the leadoff runner.
I 100% agree with you on that one, Dave. I've been a big Newman guy all along. Put him there, leave him there. He can be there for a long time to come. As for Archer, I think he's turning a corner. I think, and I said it going into the last start, listen to me on Pirates pre and post game, I felt like he figured something out coming out of the All-Star break, put 2 starts together that make me feel confident in that. Keep taking your calls, 412-928-9370. Up next, I also want to talk about this article Jason Mackey wrote in the Post-Gazette. Talked with Pirates players about the robot umpires, what they think about. I mean, everybody's talked about robot umpires. I haven't seen many players comment on it. And some interesting thoughts on how the Pirates pitchers think they could actually manipulate something like that. We'll talk about that as well. That's all still to come. Craig Riley in for Paul Zeiss. All that up here on The Fan next. Craig Riley back in. One last segment for the Paul Zeiss Show. Been telling you all night. Been tracking the games. Got a little bit of scratch on the Nationals-Braves game. That's been a rocking chair. Bottom of 6, Nationals up 10-1. Made money on that one already. I'm sweating out the end of this Indians-Tigers game. I got the Indians -1. They're up 5-3. I bet them when it was tied at 3. Man, they're in a bit of... They got runner on third, 2 outs. Top of the 8th inning is a big moment for me. As we wind down here on the show, that's winding down. It's all coming to a conclusion here at the end. Been talking Pirates... And taking your calls, 412-928-9370. A couple other little quick stories I want to get to here. Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette, our Pirates insider here at the station, wrote a really, really cool article. Pirates pitchers have close eye on robotic future. Chris Archer says, I could definitely see it happening. A bunch of other players asked about whether or not they would like it. Do they want to see it? Archer mentions that there's pros and cons to it. Stephen Brault talked about pitches like the curveball, like those really big sweeping curveballs he thinks will come back with force is what he said. So all you have to do is clip the bottom of the zone. You don't have to, in the machine, the robot umpire will pick up on that as opposed to a regular umpire may see that drop all the way down and hit the dirt and call it a ball. But technically, it clipped the strike zone. Robot ump calls that a strike. Kyle Crick could benefit with his slider. There's talk about that in here. Crick actually says, quote, robot umps would be highly exploitable. He says there are pitches that cross the zone that aren't hittable. Sometimes sliders can catch the bottom of the zone and they can still hit the ground. He says big league pitchers are too good not to exploit that. I agree with all this, but you know what? None of that's a reason not to have robot umpires. Because human umpires get exploited by pitchers. You talk about the superstar treatment some of the better pitchers in baseball get. They get that outside of the plate a little bit. It was at Smoltz back in the day. Would take a little bit on the outside, get that call, go a little bit more outside just because he had such good control, a little bit more. Next thing you know, the ball's fully off the plate. It's getting called a strike. So you want to tell me that you're worried the robot umps are exploitable? The human umps are too. At least the robot umps going to call a strike. If the ball's actually a strike because it clipped the zone, it's still a strike. Human umpires are calling balls that are off the plate and definitely a ball a strike. So this, to me, not a good enough reason not to do it. I don't know if that's the argument they were making against it because of them saying it's exploitable. Well, no more exploitable than humans are and the human umpires that we've seen. So I got no problem with robot umpires. They tried it in the Atlantic League, the Independent League. They partner with Major League Baseball. They tested it out. It was really funny to see. The umpire had one of those AirPods in. Looked like he was listening to music while calling the game. Sometimes the pitcher gets the ball back. He still hasn't been told if it's a ball or strike because they haven't perfected the technology yet. It's wild. But I'm here for robot umpires. I want it. I think it's going to be the right way to go. And if guys are going to exploit it, well, like I said, they exploit the human umpire now too. So no difference there, except some pitches that are actually strikes will get called as opposed to a strike being called a ball being called a strike. Huge moment in that Indians game. Kristen Stewart strikes out swinging. Doesn't matter. Plays for the team that I want to lose. 5-3 Indians. We head to the bottom of the eighth. I told you, we're going to track these games throughout the show. We're on fire tonight. Gave you a winner on the Nationals. Looking for another one here from the Indians. Want to take your calls? 412-928-9370. Robot umps. I think most people have no problem with robot umps. There will be the people that say, like, oh, that's not baseball. The people who don't want change to anything, that's fine. Robot umpires, I think, are inevitable at this point. It's just a matter of when they finally say, we figured it out. We can make this work. Let's implement it. Another story I want to talk about. The type of people that don't want robot umpires. Ken Campbell of the Hockey News falls into that category, I bet. So the Stanley Cup, what makes it cool is the stories behind it, right? Guy takes it, they drink beer out of it, and it's in the pool, party down the river. It's fun. Taking the cup and doing things with it is what makes it a thing. It's what makes it one of the coolest trophies, if not the coolest in all of sports. Yeah, it looks great. Probably cooler looking than a lot of them. Have all the names etched into it. Super cool. But it's the stories that guys have about what they did with the cup. I mean, we got a guy. Philip Pritchard's his name. The keeper of the cup. This is this guy's job. I have his number because we put him on the air when the Penguins won the cup. And whenever a player has their day with it, we call him up. Hey, Phil, want to come on? Tell us what Sidney Crosby did with the cup? Want to tell us what Geno did with the cup? He follows it. They share the stories. Books are written about what the guys do with the cup. That's what's cool about it. Don't tell Ken Campbell that. Ken Campbell, the Hockey News. Mm-hmm. On my cup. Don't you dare besmirch my cup. Ken Campbell tweets this out. I'm sure the next guy from the St. Louis Blues who gets a Stanley Cup will be thrilled. This guy's dogs were eating spaghetti and meatballs out of it on Monday. It amazes how the NHL allows, nay condones, he says, players treating the cup like it's a dog bowl. When you put nay condones in a tweet, I'm probably going to disagree with you. I don't know anybody that I get along with, that I talk to, that I hang out with, that I interact with in any way that uses the phrase nay condones in any serious fashion. It's like the people that call the British Open the Open Championship. Get the hell out of here with that, too. Ken Campbell, upset. This guy had his dogs eating spaghetti and meatballs out of the cup. First off, I'm sure more disgusting things than that have been done. The stories we hear are the censored, watered-down stories of what happened with the cup. That's what we get to hear. Sure, dog's mouth's disgusting. I got a dog. I mean, he eats poop. It's disgusting. Guys are going to drink out of that thing. It's not like they don't clean it, though. The guy's a keeper of the cup. I'm pretty sure he's got like some hand sanitizer he wipes in that thing or something. But Ken Campbell, not his cup. Don't you touch his cup like that. Meanwhile, Ken, so it makes the cup coal. These are the things people want to hear about. Hockey's such a niche sport to begin with. I mean, we're blessed in this market with the Penguins and how much people care about them. In other markets, things like this are the only way it's going to get on people's radar. The cool things that are done with the cup. I mean, you go to YouTube. People watch stupid cat videos and dog videos all the time. Video of dogs eating spaghetti and meatballs out of the cup. Every office lady in the world's watching that thing. Grows the game. No, no, no. Ken Campbell, knock it off, guys. Don't do fun things with the cup. Not my cup. Ken Campbell, hater of fun. Another Paul Zeiss rant. I said I hope I lived up to the expectations of the Paul Zeiss show tonight. Had a ton of fun doing it. It's been a blast. Matt Harkins, you produce Paul from time to time. Did it have a Paul Zeiss feel at times?
It did. You got to three rants. Paul sort of averages that, so I think, yeah. You successfully filled in for Paul.
Paul liked one of my tweets about tonight. I said the Paul Zeiss show featuring Craig Riley. I think that's what we're calling it now. He liked that tweet. Maybe listen. I'm going to check with him when he gets back. Rafa DiPaolo had him on earlier. Huge thanks to him. Gave me a good grade on interviewing him. I said I was hoping I lived up to the standards there. So we got the Rafa DiPaolo seal of approval.
The caller from Aliquippa gave you a big approval
Boots?
Rating.
Was that Boots was his name? I don't remember.
Bean or Boots.
Bean or Boots. We had two people, Bean and Boots, call the show tonight. It was one of those two. When we wrap it up,